this guy had been killed, see, to justify and rationalize that we indeed have boots on the ground. But this is rather troubling because now ISIS controls Ramadi, Mosul, a large swath of Syria. And remember, the plan was that we were going to train the Iraqi army. How long have we been training the Iraqi army, and how many billions of dollars have we spent to train the Iraqi army? And all this probably could have been avoided if you had left some troops there. And look, I'm not saying that we ever should have even gone in there. You can go back. And I would make the argument that Saddam Hussein was, the region was way better off with Saddam Hussein there. Say what you will. You know, one of the big arguments lately, and I'm going to explore that in a minute, is that, you know, I keep hearing these candidates say, well, the world's a better place without Saddam Hussein in it. Really? Is it? Is it really? I know it's heresy to say that, but I don't know if it really is a better place. Again, you look at the whole region, and I don't know if that's necessarily true. Okay, so now the Islamic State jihadists, they have been making a threat for months about basically smuggling people into Europe. And now they're doing it. And you knew this was coming too. One Libyan government official says the Islamic State group has succeeded in getting jihadists into the European continent by hiding them on migrant boats transporting illegal immigrants. Libyan government advisor Abu Haran told the BBC Sunday that smugglers are placing members of the terrorist group among African migrants sitting out on the often perilous Mediterranean Sea journey. So, we've got this huge influx now of illegals going across the Mediterranean from Libya. Is Libya better off right now without Gaddafi? I would argue no. You see, this is the fallacy and the fault. This is the fault of U.S. foreign policy. We've got Ellen Ratner from Talk Radio News out of Washington. Ellen, you know, we now know that Islamic State has seized Ramadi. Clearly, this training of the Iraqi army once again has failed. The airstrikes obviously seem to have no effect on
Well, I don't
Islamic
know that they've
State.
Had no effect. They haven't had the desired effect.
Okay, well then, therefore, to me, they haven't had any effect because I don't see where it's hurt them. In fact, they have made gains. But that being said, you know, one of the big questions now, with all the presidential candidates, is whether or not you would have gone into Iraq and invaded. Everybody's asking that question. I think that, frankly, with the the region was better off with Saddam Hussein in power. And I know that's heresy to say that. But,
well, in fact, there's been some studies that shown that sometimes benevolent dictators do better than fledgling democracies. I would strongly encourage you, if you have some time or any of your listeners, to read Judy Miller's book, Judith Miller. She's the Fox News analyst who started out as a liberal Democrat, is now a conservative. It's called The Story. You know, she got accused of pushing for the Iraq War.
Right.
She explains herself as not. But my favorite line, and I know I think I've probably quoted it on this radio show, is that she says these countries have a situation of one man, one vote, one time, because they all take power. But she talks a lot about these kinds of non-democracies. The United States has pushed democracy in a world that cannot tolerate, doesn't understand democracy. Look, I see what happens in South Sudan. Supposedly it's a democracy. Well, what it is I'm going to take all this money for me, and the poor people in South Sudan aren't going to get anything.
Well, isn't that, yeah, and you know, you make a good point, and I've been saying this for a long time, and we can go all the way back, and I've said this time and time again on the show, we can go all the way back to the Shah of Iran. We can go back to the Shah of Iran in 1979, we can go to Saddam Hussein.
Who was, by the way, put there by the CIA when we did a coup in the early 50s.
Absolutely, there's no question about it. But you can make the argument that in certain regions of the world, probably in most of the world, except for, you know, with the exception of Western Europe and the United States, probably a dictatorship works better. I mean, I hate to say that, but, you know, Libya was better off under Gaddafi. Saddam Hussein probably shouldn't have...
Well, the question is that there isn't, and Judy Miller talks about this too, she has dinner at Norman Schwarzkopf's house, and you remember he was the big general.
Sure.
Right? And he said, listen, you're never going to have democracy unless you have an independent judiciary, which these countries don't.
Right.
Respect for minority and minority opinion, which these countries don't. I mean, the problem is that you don't have the basics of what we have in this country. And as Judy Miller says, and I say, but whatever the United States' problems are, there isn't a day we're not thankful that we're not residents of the good old United States.
Absolutely. There's no question about it. And here's the thing. I mean, you mentioned Schwarzkopf. A lot of people wondered during the first Gulf War, hey, you know, why didn't we take out Saddam Hussein then? And the reason why is because James Baker and those of his ilk said, no, we can't go and we can't take Saddam Hussein out because the alternative is going to be worse. You know, and a lot of people at that time were like, well, how come we haven't taken him out? Why don't we just keep going and go to Baghdad and take him out? And that's the reason why. And in hindsight, that was actually a good decision. And you know, you've got all these dictatorships, you know, like, look, you can go to Egypt, with the fall of Mubarak, Saddam Hussein, Muammar Gaddafi, the Shah.
And now
of Iran.
They're trying to give Mubarak the death sentence?
Oh, no, he's been sentenced to death, no question.
I mean, this is craziness.
It's really not. I mean, it's crazy to us.
Right.
It's not crazy. And so then when you hear people like John Kerry talking about, oh, we're living in the 21st century, well, we might be living in
the 21st century.
Exactly. So then when you see these actors like Putin or the rest of the world, they're not living in the 21st century. They don't have anything to do with the 21st century. And the Middle East, they're living in the 7th century. So this whole thing of how we're going to launch airstrikes, we're going to train
well, now you
the
did
forces.
Have, I think it was Marco Rubio that said, you know, we ought to bomb these guys into oblivion. Well, that's fine, except then you're bombing an entire country into oblivion. And what is that going to necessarily do?
I agree. And then so then you've got people that criticize, like, for instance, you know, Rand Paul or Ron Paul for their positions. And when you think about it, it kind of makes sense. Like, Why are we constantly, you know, getting involved in nation building,
well,
and trying to support democracy?
But there is another issue, and I always look at South Sudan as sort of the as an example, which is if we don't get involved in that, then we have three issues. One, China, that is going to overtake places like Africa and take all the minerals, and hold us at hold us hostage, really, rare earths as an example, rare earth minerals. Number two, terrorism, and South Sudan is another example where Joseph Kony is there and paying off people and doing horrible terrorism. And three, things like Ebola that emerge because they have no health infrastructure. So there are reasons in this very complicated world we have that we need to be involved in some of these countries.
You know, maybe from a humanitarian standpoint.
No, I'm not talking about humanitarian. I'm talking about, look, if China gets their foothold in Africa, we are screwed because they're going to take all the minerals, they're going to take all the oil, the rare earths that we use in our computers, in our windmills that supposedly, you know, the environmentalists think are so great. Well, yeah, but they use rare earths to make the windmills go around. these are all big problems.
Oh, my God, Ellen, you sound like a hawk. All right.
You know what I say? I'm a right-winger when it comes to Africa. I'm a left-winger at home.
All right, Ellen, I got to run, but thanks for coming on the show.
Thank
I appreciate
you.
It. All right. We'll be right back. Don't touch that.
There are an awful lot of things going on that need understanding and explanation, but to put it mildly, the world is a mess.
Go, go, go. Don't touch that dial. Back in a moment with Edward Woodson.
John Tesh, you tuned in to the 50,000 watt powerhouse, independent talk, 1100 KFNX.
The risks to your money have never been greater. Don't Bank on It is a hot new book which exposes 20 major risks. Here's the first three shocking risks covered in the book. Under current law, you don't own your bank account. Your deposits are an unsecured asset belonging to the bank. What you own is an IOU. The FDIC only has enough reserves to cover 7% of total deposits. 7%! Today, cyber criminals can instantly steal your savings, identity, and credit. No wonder so many Americans have begun hoarding cash and gold. What more can you do to save your life savings? Call 1-800-519-6271. 800-519-6271 now to request a free copy of Don't Bank on It. At $20 value, free. Don't wait. Do it now. Call 800-519-6271, 1-800-519-6271, or at edwardwoodson.com.
Hi, my name is Faith. I have been in pain for 7 years. It started with a work-related injury, and I ended up with a herniated disc and nerve damage. I have been in pain for 7 years and tried many drugs and treatments. I have been taking morphine, Percodan, Percocet, hydrocodone, and seeing chiropractors, physical therapists, and medical doctors. Some things helped me for a while, but nothing brought lasting relief. Finally, I was treated by the clinic, incredibly pain-free, in Scottsdale. And I am so pleased with the results. I'm now able to do the things I want to do without feeling drugged. My back feels so much better, and I'm so thankful for incredibly pain-free.
Incredibly pain-free. Your evaluation is free. Your consultation is free. And your first treatment is free. So to start your pain-free journey, call Incredibly Pain-Free at 480-535-8808. That's 480-535-8808. Start your pain-free journey, 535-8808.
He's still so mad. Now back to your host, Edward Woodson.
Monday, Monday. So good to me. Monday morning, it was all I hoped it would be.
Welcome back to the show. Well, this Iraq question has nipped everybody in the bud. It's amazing how this is the simplest of questions here. It took Jeb Bush the whole week to recover. Took him a whole week. It took him five tries to get this question right, i.e., knowing what you know now, would you have invaded Iraq? And to me, what it shows is that Jeb Bush is unprepared. It shows a lack of preparedness, a lack of discipline, that he's not ready for prime time. He seems as though he doesn't really want it. He seems disinterested. It's like kind of like Ted Kennedy in 1979 when he was asked, why do you want to run for president? He kind of stumbled around, you know, because it's kind of like, you know, it was his turn. That's what it seems like to me with Jeb, that he just really doesn't want it. He doesn't seem like he's into it. Now, supporters of Jeb, and that would be the establishment, they are privately expressing puzzlement at his performance. I'm not, frankly, but they are. Apparently, as the Florida governor, he never really is one to submit to coaching. He doesn't like to be coached. He doesn't like to be handled. But you need to study up. You need to bone up. And again, it just seems as though this is politics 101. He can't seem to break away from his brother, his family. I get it. He's loyal to the family. That's fine. But it would seem as though this is a very simple thing, a very simple question. And what this last week has shown is that he's not ready. He's just not ready. Now, it's very early, and he can overcome this because most people aren't even really paying attention right now. They're more concerned about Deflategate or the fact that American Idol has been canceled. Say it ain't so. But I got to tell you, it just shows to me a lack of discipline big time. Now, over the weekend, it was Marco Rubio's turn. And again, how do you not know that this is going to be a question that you're going to have to answer, given what we know now? How do you not know that? And this is going to be one of the dominant questions of foreign policy. And I think foreign policy is going to dominate the presidential elections in 2016. So Marco Rubio was grilled on Sunday by Chris Wallace. Now, this is Chris Wallace. It's not Chris Matthews, okay? Asking Marco Rubio, again, basic question that you should be prepared for and ready to go. Listen.
And increasingly here in the homeland as well.
This brings us back to Iraq and the question of the week, which is, given what we know now, would you have invaded Iraq back in 2003? As we all know, Jeb Bush had a tough time answering that this week. Here's what you've had to say.
Was it a mistake to go to war in Iraq?
No, I don't believe it was. The world is a better place because Saddam Hussein doesn't run Iraq.
After finding out there were no weapons of mass destruction, would you, if you knew that, have been in favor of the Iraqi invasion?
Well, not only would I not have been in favor of it, President Bush would not have been in favor of it. And he said so.
Senator, isn't that a flip? 6 weeks ago, it made sense to invade Iraq in 2003. Now you say it was a mistake.
No, they're two different questions. It was not a mistake. The president, based on, this is the way the real world works, the president, based on the information that was provided.
But she was saying, based on the information. She was saying, based on what we know now.
Well, based on what we know now, a lot of them, based on what we know now, I wouldn't have, you know, thought Manny Pacquiao was going to beat in that fight a couple weeks ago.
I know, but you were asked the same question, and you said it
made sense. No, it was not the same question. The question was whether it was a mistake, and my answer was it's not a mistake. I still say it was not a mistake because the president was presented with intelligence that said Iraq had weapons of mass destruction. It was governed by a man who had committed atrocities in the past with weapons of mass destruction.
But what she asked you was it a mistake to go to war with Iraq?
It was not a mistake, given the fact that what the president knew at the time.
No, she didn't say that. She just said,
well,
was it a mistake?
That's not the same question. The question I was asked is, what you know now? Well, based on what we know now, I think everyone agrees.
Was it a mistake? Was it a mistake to go to war with Iraq?
I'm
asking you just.
Yeah, I understand, but it's not the same question.
But that's the question I'm asking you. Was it a mistake?
It was not a mistake for the president to decide to go into Iraq, because at the time he was told.
I'm not asking you that. I'm asking you.
In hindsight. Yes. Well, the world is a better place because Saddam Hussein is not there.
So
I wouldn't characterize it. But I don't understand the question you're asking.
I'm asking you, knowing everything, as we sit here in 2015.
But that's not the way presidents don't. A president cannot make a decision on what someone might know in the future.
But that's what I'm asking you. Was it a mistake?
It was not a mistake for the president to go into Iraq based on the information he was provided as president. Today, we know if the president had known that there were no weapons of mass destruction at the time, you still would have had to deal with Saddam Hussein, but the process would have been different. I doubt very seriously that the president would have gotten, for example, congressional approval to move forward with an invasion had they known there were no weapons of mass destruction. That does not mean he made the wrong decision, because at the time he was presented with intelligence
I understand that
said there are weapons of mass destruction. He wasn't dealing with a Nobel Peace Prize winner. He was dealing with Saddam Hussein, and he made the right decision based on the information he had at that time. We've learned subsequently.
Is this a hard question, Steve? Am I missing something here?
No.
These guys are just dopes. You're running for president? You want me to vote for you, and you can't answer a simple question like that? And he keeps saying that, the world is a better place without Saddam Hussein. No, I vehemently disagree. I think, actually, the world would have been a better place if we had left Saddam Hussein in place.
As bad as he was, at least he was a stabilizing factor.
Exactly. I think that Libya is worse off. I think Gaddafi, the world was a better place with Gaddafi.
He even said himself something to that effect before his demise. Without me, you're gonna descend into chaos, because it's going to go back to tribalism.
Right. So wait. So these guys are just dopes, and they keep saying this. They keep saying, well, the world is a better place now. No, I think you're wrong. I think it's not a better place. I think it's worse. I think it was Egypt was stable with Mubarak. Say what you will about Libya, but it wasn't the hellhole that it is now. It was bad, but again, it's all relative. It's like things can always get worse. And then to say that the world is a better place, I'm sorry, you're wrong. You're wrong. And see, they don't want to just say that because they're so afraid of their base. And what are they going to say? And what are the voters going to say? I want somebody to come out and tell the truth. The world is not a better place. You got ISIS. Look, the top story of today is that ISIS has taken control of Ramadi. Where did ISIS come from? Okay, ISIS came from the fact that, I'm sorry, we got rid of Saddam Hussein. You've got ISIS fighters now being smuggled across the Mediterranean into Europe from Libya. Would that have happened under Gaddafi? No. So when you say the world would be a better place without Saddam Hussein, it sounds good, right? Wrong. It's not. That's patently wrong. Stop saying that. Oh, we're not talking about a Nobel Peace Prize winner. Let me ask you this. Should we get rid of the leader of North Korea? He's a bad guy. Should we get rid of them? Oh, we don't do that because they have nuclear weapons. Should we get rid of the people in China? Should we get rid of Putin? He's a bad dude. Should we get rid of all the dictators in South America and Central America? Should we get rid of them? Should we be the world policeman? So to say, well, the world is a better place without Saddam Hussein. No, it's not. You've got ISIS now that you didn't have before. We didn't have ISIS before. Okay? Stop saying that. Everybody shakes their heads and goes, yeah, you know, it's a better place now without Saddam Hussein. No, it's not a better place. I would argue that it's not. It's worse. It's actually a worse place without Saddam Hussein. It's worse. We'll be right back.
Don't touch that dial. Back in a moment with Edward Woodson. Coverage you can count on around the clock. News, weather, and the KFNX traffic team. Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX.
This is the Blaze Radio News. I'm Robin Walensky. ISIS terrorists take Ramadi in Iraq. The Blaze Radio's Chris Vermillion with the very latest reaction.
ISIS, I describe as Al-Qaeda 6.0. This is really the sixth generation of Al-Qaeda.
California Republican Devin Nunes is chairman of the House Intelligence Committee, speaking on CBS's Face the Nation about the dangers of ISIS as a governor's spokesman in Iraq's Anbar province says Ramadi has fallen to the Islamic State. The terrorist group claims to hold the entire city as a series of car bomb attacks send security forces in the area on the retreat. ISIS also claiming control of the 8th Brigade military base as well as tanks and missile launchers left behind by the soldiers who retreat.
In Waco, Texas, three rival gangs involved in a shootout outside a Twin Peaks restaurant. When the gunfire ends, nine people killed.
A bloody scene in Waco, Texas, leaves nine people dead after rival biker gangs exchanged gunfire at a sports bar. Eight people dying in a parking lot outside the Twin Peaks Sports Bar and Grill, one transported to the hospital and dying there. Police collecting bats, knives, chains, and other weapons from the parking lot after the gunfire stops. No word on exactly what sparked the violence.
Despite blatant conflict of interest, ABC still standing by George Stephanopoulos. The anchorman now apologizing for a third time. Here's the Blaze Radio's Joe Gomez.
George Stephanopoulos continues his apology tour on ABC's This Week.
Over the last several years, I've made substantial donations to dozens of charities, including the Clinton Global Foundation. Those donations were a matter of public record, but I should have made additional disclosures on air when we covered the foundation.
This makes the third time that Stephanopoulos has apologized for donating to the Clinton Foundation.
I apologize to all of you for failing to do that.
ABC News says it stands by its chief anchor.
This is news on the Blaze Radio Network. Truth lives here.
Arizona News Radio. A boating accident on Canyon Lake leaves one person dead. Maricopa County Sheriff Spokesman Chris Hegstrom says 50-year-old Christian Deedle was driving the boat when he lost control and crashed.
It appears the operator of the boat was distracted and left the controls for a moment when the boat then veered right into a rock.
Three passengers suffered serious non-life-threatening injuries. Alcohol may have been a factor. A teenager who committed suicide at his Tempe High School last week is being remembered. Marcus Wheeler's friend Alexis Stalzer saying he was important to many people.
He gave to everyone, so this is our way of feeling that we could give to him for what he did for us.
Friends and family getting together for a vigil at Anderson Junior High in Chandler to remember Marcus Wheeler, who took his own life at Corona del Sol last Tuesday. Two people dead, 11 injured in a multi-car accident. Police reporting a car crossed the median, struck another vehicle head-on. Diamondbacks lose to the Phillies 6-0. Geico weather warming up in the deserts. Highs of 59 up north. Jeff Scott, Arizona News.
This check of your KFNX traffic, a service of Brakes Plus. We have a collision northbound I-17 north of Black Canyon City. Also delays eastbound I-10 between 83rd and 59th. We have a closure due to an accident. 99th Avenue was closed between Bethany Home Road and Glendale. Brakes Plus is family owned and operated. They give free estimates, and right now all wheel alignments are just $58. America comes to Brakes Plus.
From the KFNX Weatherbug Weather Center for the rest of the morning, mostly clear skies, low near 58. As we head into the day, a chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly sunny, high near 81. Tonight, a chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly clear with a low near 59. Tuesday, sunny and a high near 79. Tuesday night, clear, low near 57. I'm Ron Pritchard from the KFNX Weatherbug Weather Center.
Currently here in Midtown, we do have clear skies and 69 degrees. Next news in 30 minutes or when it breaks. More Edward Woodson comes your way on Independent Talk 1100 KFNX.
Bloomberg reports
Cash under the mattress is now considered safer than inside a bank. That's right. On November 20th, G20 leaders, including President Obama, voted to enact new banking laws replacing taxpayer bailouts with what's called bank bail-ins. Sounds good, right? Wrong. The fine print of this new bail-in legal doctrine states that your money deposited in bank savings, CDs, or money market funds can be confiscated or converted into bank shares of uncertain value. Oh yeah, I've been warning you about this risk all year on my show. The authors of Don't Bank on It just released a new white paper entitled After the G20. It's free by calling 800-519-6271. 800-519-6271. Discover why your dollars in banks just became dollars at risk. Call 800-519-6271. 800-519-6271 or at edwardwoodson.com.
He's still so mad. Now back to your host, Edward Woodson.
Monday, Monday, so good to me.
Welcome back to the show. I would just like one person that's running for president, one person to just get up and tell the truth about Iraq. I mean, I'm so sick and tired of everybody saying, well, the world is a better place without Saddam Hussein. No, it's not. It's not a better place. It's actually worse. And here to discuss is Mike Opelka from The Blaze. You know, I keep hearing this, Mike, from all these guys. You had, of course, over the weekend, it was Marco Rubio's turn. And they keep saying it would be a better place without Saddam Hussein. The world's a better place without him. And you know what? It's not. Stop saying that. It's not a better place. It isn't. It's worse. It's worse.
Well, are you blaming that on the removal of Saddam Hussein or on other factors? Because the world is a better and worse place in different regions for different reasons.
Right, but should
so,
we go
you know, I think it's kind of, that's like this platitude that all of these people are spouting now.
That's
the world's
I mean.
A better place because he's gone. I don't know about that.
That's what I'm saying. Thank you. That's exactly what I'm saying. I don't know about that. Wait, stop, okay? Because I don't think it is. And in fact, I would argue that it's worse now, that it would be better if he was still in power. It would be better if Gaddafi was still in power, Mubarak was still in power. I mean, you've got so much instability in the world because guess what? The United States decided, you know, oh, we're going to get rid of all these people and it's going to be better. No, it's not. It always comes and bites us in the ass all the time when we do this stupid stuff. It's just incredible to me.
Yeah, and the question I always ask after I'm being asked something like these guys are being asked, I always say, better for who?
Right.
Who is it better for? Is it better for us? Is it because there's some Iraqis you would ask and they'd go, no, it's not better. And there's some you'd say, yes, it is better. And that's the reason why was the dictator was persecuting some of those people he didn't agree with. So, yeah, it's a mess. It's a minefield that some candidate has to go, hold on a second. And I hate to quote Hillary Clinton, but what difference now does it make?
Can we have one guy? I mean, even Rand Paul is like hedging and he can't just come out and say it, you know, because, you know, Ron Paul would have just said it. Ron Paul would have just said straight up, hey, you know what? It's not better. We're worse off. I mean, you've got now. The front page of all the major newspapers this morning, the big story is that that ISIS has seized Ramadi now. Would that have happened but for?
No,
but
no, no, no. No, they wouldn't have crossed even into from Syria into the border.
Right.
The Republican Guard would have been standing there and taken out any ISIS fighters. The Iraqi Air Force would have just bombed the hell out of them. And so that would not have happened. So.
Right.
It is. It's a weird question. The biggest question I have over the weekend, and I'm going to shift topics on you here just briefly, but it's in the region. What the hell happened when we took out this ISIS leader?
Oh, I'm glad you mentioned that.
Does this mean we have boots on the ground?
Clearly, we have boots on the ground. And you know what, Mike? I think that they had to acknowledge that because this happened. I have two questions. All right, look, It's obvious we have boots on the ground, and they're doing they're undergoing missions that we don't even know about. I'm sure that there's stuff going on we don't even know about in terms of boots on the ground and intelligence.
That's a good point.
Okay,
this is one that we know about, and
correct.
one of NBC's reporters in the region brought
Richard Engel.
There's another guy over there whose name escapes me. Brought up a really fascinating question. What happened if just one of the commandos had been taken hostage?
Right, right. Here's another thing. Okay, so I'm going to bring up Richard Engel because I was watching a report that Richard Engel was filing, and he said, I never heard of this guy, and most of the experts I've talked to have never heard of this guy. So, you know, I have to question, Mike, who, I mean, they say, oh, he's the number two guy in ISIS. I mean, do we really know that? I mean, who knows?
What's coming out this morning, and I think the fairest comparison you can make, the easiest way to understand this, this was Al Capone's accountant.
Right. That's what they're saying.
Yeah.
I don't know that.
The biggest deal they got out of this may be the intel that comes from the computers. But all of that is well and good. We had troops, commandos, on the ground in Syria.
Right.
And nobody in the mainstream media is raising their hands going, what the hell is going on, Mr. President? You have now put American troops on the ground in a country, and do we have a status of forces agreement in Iraq? No. Did we have an agreement with Syria? We don't know.
Correct. We don't know that. And not only that, imagine this. What if that that helicopter, one of those Ospreys, are shot down?
You've got multiple deaths. You've got it's almost worse that if the ISIS situation, if they had taken an American soldier captive, that's even an even bigger concern and a greater worry, because that would have been now this. Somebody says, okay, we've got your commando, give us Joker Tsarnaev, or we behead him.
Yeah, I mean, again, look. We've got boots on the ground. This is just a mess, and this is going to continue to be an issue. This ISIS thing and Iraq is going to be everybody's going to get their time in the chair now, right? Everybody's going to be asked this question now about, would you have gone into Iraq? I want one guy. I mean, actually, Ted Cruz is the closest one now that said, no, I wouldn't have gone in. But I want one guy to go in there and go further and say what you and I say and say, well, you know what? I don't know if the world is a better place. I don't know. Because it's like, that's kind of like the popular thing to say for some reason is to say, well, the world's a better place without Saddam Hussein. You know, like I keep hearing that over and over again. And I just jump out of my chair and I want to go, no, it's not.
Well, it's an easy way to try and say, to justify it. And that justification has no basis in reality because it's a hypothetical, and we all know hypotheticals get hypothetical answers.
Yes, exactly.
So it's a strange and wasted time in terms of an exercise for me.
I agree. All right, now I want to shift gears with you a little bit and talk about something strange here. Is this Amtrak crash now? It's now being reported quite possibly that the FBI has been brought in by the NTSB to investigate reports that quite possibly the train maybe had been hit by a projectile or shot at. And this raises a larger question of whether there was a sabotage involved or not, that may be the reason why he sped up or he doesn't remember it is because he may be freaked out. There were some radio transmission from one of the other trains that they had been hit by something. This is very common, actually, that in that area that people actually throw rocks and they throw stuff at the train all the time. It's like a game.
But, well, it is, and I ride this corridor
several
times, 10,000 plus, 20,000 miles. Last year was almost 40,000 miles back and forth on the train. North of Philly is an area that burned out, abandoned warehouses.
Right.
It's kind of just a disaster area.
Right.
And there are kids there all the time throwing crap at the trains. Kids without, you know, anything better to do. And so the trains get hit. You'll see marks on the side of the train. I should take some video of it next time. But this, could this have been a gunshot? Doubtful based on the size of it. If it does happen, it didn't penetrate the window completely, right, the glass completely. Yeah, it's probably disturbing that the train got hit. But I'm glad the FBI is looking into it, frankly.
No, I am too. I am too. But it just kind of raises a question of was there something else involved? We don't know. You know, they had kind of when it first came out, they ruled out any sabotage. And my first thought was, how can you rule that out? Because you don't know that there was sabotage. And, you know,
well, they ruled out sabotage in terms of derailing.
Right, right, right. In terms of derailing.
So I think that was the angle. And now remember, Amtrak has had 8 or 9 of its derailing equipment stolen, and they don't know anything about where those are.
Correct.
So that was a big deal.
Correct.
But I just think this was obvious. This was physics at work. You're going 106 miles an hour in a 50-mile-an-hour zone around a curve, and all of a sudden the train jumps the track.
Yeah. Yeah, and what's so disturbing about it is this the sheer number of people that are that ride this track. You know, I mean, it's a big deal. It's a
busiest rail line in the North America.
I've heard the busiest in the Western Hemisphere even.
Yeah, it could be, but it's something that is crucial to transportation here in this corridor from D.C. to Boston. And there are trains, there are regular trains, you know, local service trains, and high-speed rail trains that share those tracks. So for this to be down for a week, it's back up today, was really a mess. And it caused significant delays and problems, as well as 200-plus injuries, which Congress capped Amtrak's liability at $200 million for any incident. And you know that with over 200 people hitting and being injured, that would have easily gone way past $200 million.
Oh, no question. Now it's going to be a race with the lawyers to file claims, because basically the way it comes down is it's first come, first serve.
But wait, hold on. While we're on lawyers, can we get to one happy topic before the end of this?
Go ahead.
The lawsuit filed by Sharpton's daughter for $5 million because she tripped and she says on a sidewalk, uneven sidewalk in New York City, she is so damaged she needs $5 million, and then she gets caught posting pictures of herself climbing a mountain. I'm sorry, but it's just the greatest. She's got pictures of herself on Instagram in high heels, climbing a mountain, going hiking, and yet days before she posted the mountain climbing, she filed a $5 million lawsuit against the city of New York.
You can't make this stuff up. All right, Mike, I got to let you go.
Have a good day, brother.
All right, you too. Thank you. We'll be right back. Sounds good, right? Wrong.
Don't touch that dial. Back in a moment with Edward Woodson. We all want to change the
world. You tell me that it's evolution. I'm plastic surgeon Dr. Arthur Perry, and I believe that skincare doesn't need to be complicated. Here's my simple program. In the morning, protect your skin with my daytime cream. Daytime is an SPF 20 sunscreen with niacin and moisturizers. In the evening, feed your skin with my nighttime serum. Nighttime has vitamin C and A, fruit acids, and antioxidants. And wash your face with Clean Time, my wonderful smelling toxin-free soap. Feed, protect, and clean. That's all it takes to have truly beautiful skin. My basic regimen is the simplest, most effective skincare program you can buy. It includes nighttime and daytime and a bar of Clean Time soap. To order, call 855-940-1500. That's 855-940-1500. Or on the web, it's drperrys.com. That's drperrys.com. Mention Phoenix, and my basic skincare regimen is yours for $99.
The risks to your money have never been greater. Don't Bank on It is a hot new book which exposes 20 major risks. Here's the first three shocking risks covered in the book. Under current law, you don't own your bank account. Your deposits are an unsecured asset belonging to the bank. What you own is an IOU. The FDIC only has enough reserves to cover 7% of total deposits. 7%! Today, cyber criminals can instantly steal your savings, identity, and credit. No wonder so many Americans have begun hoarding cash and gold. What more can you do to save your life savings? Call 1-800-519-6271. 800-519-6271 now to request a free copy of Don't Bank on It. At $20 value, free. Don't wait. Do it now. Call 800-519-6271, 1-800-519-6271, or at edwardwoodson.com.
When it comes to your finances, you need an education so you can make informed decisions. That's what Matt Martinez is all about, empowering you through education for a different kind of financial planning, one that educates and puts you in control. Call Matt Martinez today at 480-695-3567. That's 480-695-3567. 3567. Matt wants to empower you because it's your financial future.
He's still so mad. Now back to your host, Edward Woodson.
To the tune of some millions of dollars.
Yes. You know, I read the book that this is based on, Clinton
right.
Cash. Read it, and I actually interviewed the author on Sunday. This is a tough one.
As you know, the Clinton campaign says you haven't produced a shred of evidence that there was any official action as secretary that supported the interests of donors. You didn't disclose in your book that he had sold the interests. Beyond that, there's no evidence at all that Hillary Clinton got directly involved in this decision. We've done investigative work here at ABC News, found no proof of any kind of direct action. He said there's no smoking gun, no evidence that she changed the policy based on donations to the foundation. No smoking gun.
The Democrats have said this is indication of your partisan interest. They say you used to work for President Bush as a speechwriter. You're funded by the Koch brothers. How do you respond to that? Because when you actually look closely at it, he even says there's no evidence of any direct action taken on behalf of the donors.
Well, Donna, I got to talk to you first. I know you're close to the Clinton team. They did not want to put anybody out to talk about this book today.
Hillary Clinton has this whole scandal now about some form. Are you familiar with the Clintons?
Hillary Clinton.
The bigger they are, the dumber they are. Now, George Stephanopoulos, we can't trust anything he says. We can't trust anything he says now. And is it any wonder? Because he's a liar. Okay? And this is, and I said this last week, this is way worse than Brian Williams. Because Brian Williams just wanted to be, you know, Walter Mitty. This guy is a hack for the Clintons. I mean, he gave, now it's reported that he gave almost $100,000 to the Clinton Foundation. How? How are we supposed to believe this guy? Clearly, there is media bias. This is what we've been saying for years and years and years. And you've got somebody like George Stephanopoulos that's the face of ABC News. I mean, how do we trust them? We can't. That's the problem. All right, we've got a caller from Miami. We've got Dave on the line from Miami. David, thanks for calling the show, and thank you for listening.
Good morning, Edward.
Good morning.
Just the other day about the thing with Saddam Hussein.
Okay.
I take Saddam Hussein alive with nuclear bombs over what's going on in the Middle East now. Unless you're an ISIS terrorist, then maybe the world's a great place for you, but for everybody else, it's the most dangerous world I've been in many, many years.
So what are you saying exactly? You think that, what's your point? I don't understand.
Yeah, the only people that this world is actually a better place for is ISIS terrorists.
Nobody else. Yeah, I agree. I think, you're absolutely right. The world is a better place for ISIS without Saddam Hussein. Thank you. I agree 100%. And you know what I wish? I wish one guy running for president would say exactly that.
Unfortunately, all the politicians, they got, like you said, there's only one party, and they, quite frankly, they all suck. I can see not voting again this election.
Listen, I couldn't agree with you more. There is basically one party, and it's the party of the inside the Beltway Washington elites. Thank you for your call, David. I appreciate it.
You have a great one.
You're 100% right. It's true. It's true. I mean, that's what it comes down to. I mean, we have one party, and the caller makes a great point. If you're ISIS, then, you know, the world's a better place without Saddam Hussein, because basically, if he wasn't around anymore, then you wouldn't have ISIS. If you had Saddam Hussein, you wouldn't have ISIS. Okay, that's the bottom line here. Here's a little soundbite of George Stephanopoulos. George Stephanopoulos talking about media bias. This was at the Republican convention in Tampa. He was caught going up the elevator. This is by MRC TV, the Media Research Center. Check this out.
Bias in the media?
I don't. Who are you?
We're the Media Research Center. You don't believe there's any liberal media bias?
Take care, man.
No. You should see his smug look. No. Now listen to his lame apology. Go ahead. Play that, Steve.
I want to address some news you may have seen about me. Over the last several years, I've made substantial donations to dozens of charities, including the Clinton Global Foundation. Those donations were a matter of public record, but I should have made additional disclosures on air when we covered the foundation. And I now believe that directing personal donations to that foundation was a mistake. Even though I made them strictly to support work done to stop the spread of AIDS, help children, and protect the environment in poor countries, I should have gone the extra mile to avoid even the appearance of a conflict. I apologize to all of you for failing to do that.
That is so lame. I love how he says, I did it to stop the spread of AIDS, to help children, and the environment. AIDS, children, and the environment. Okay?
Don't you like puppies?
Don't you like puppies? I love puppies. I mean, really? That's he wanted to support deforestation and stopping the spread of AIDS. And he wanted to help the children. Really? See, this is why you cannot trust the mainstream media, because you've got people like George Stephanopoulos, the face of ABC News. You've got Lion Brian Williams, NBC. I think that ABC News, they're going to stick by it. This last week was a kind of a trial balloon, and that if it goes over well, they're going to be just fine, and they're not going to get rid of them, because they want to continue to put out the narrative, which is Hillary's awesome, and so is Jeb. All right, we are out of time for the day, but check out my website, edwardwoodson.com, edwardwoodson.com. Also, follow me on Twitter, @EdWoodsonShow. And if you missed the show or you want to listen to other shows, go to woodsonarchive.com to listen to the podcasts. It is an honor and a privilege to be with you every day to give you your fair share of the truth, because you're entitled to it. Good day, America. I'm out.
Thank you for tuning in to the Edward Woodson Show, changing talk radio forever.
The Senior Directory Guide offers over 70 categories of local resources for aging adults nationwide. It's available in print and online. The guide includes information on senior housing, elder law attorneys, home health agencies, and activities. Call 1-800-955-8510 or visit seniordirectory.com. That's seniordirectory.com.
that makes you go,
Look, you hear about it every day from Republicans and Democrats and everyone else who wants to tell you all the reasons why they're right and everyone else is wrong. If you've had enough, you're not alone. You deserve a show that offers unbiased truth and unfiltered debate. So tune in to Raging Sanity Radio with Will Hubbard and Alan Harvey, Saturday mornings at 7 a.m. on Independent Talk 1100 KFNX.
From the realms of astronomy, space, aviation, weather, this is the Dr. Sky Report.
I'm Dr. Sky with the Dr. Sky Minute from the realm of space, strange events in our skies. Of all the unidentified flying object stories, approximately 2% still remain unexplained. Take, for example, the March 16, 1967 incident that happened at Malmstrom Air Force Base entitled Echo Flight. After sightings of strange circular ball-like objects of light moving through the skies, a series of 10 missiles had a strange signal sent to them, which made them inoperable. The military term for an event like this is called Faded Giant, where a weapon system inexplicably goes offline. A book by Jim Klotz and Robert Salas known as Faded Giant explains much more. Above all, always remember to keep your eyes to the skies.
You're listening to Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX, Cave Creek, Phoenix, a division of Premier Radio Stations, the home of the Michael Savage Show.